I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm your host, Debbie Dashinger. It's so great to have you here. And you know, Dare to Dream was created for you to inspire you to take steps towards your dream and turn those goals into your reality. I'm doing something different today, and I am going to feature a man panel. I even love the sound of that, a man panel. What is that? Well, I'm recently single within the last 9 months, and I was talking to my friend Dennis Langlais, and I had this inspiration while we're on the phone. And since I'm not dating yet, but I'm sure it's going to happen soon, I thought, my God, what would it be like to put together a panel of amazing men and just ask them those questions you've always wanted to know, but you didn't know how to bridge the gap? So I've done that. I've put together four amazing guys, and they're going to help me and other women to go out into the dating and relationship world and be successful. It's funny as I say that because they may actually end up helping some men too. They may say some things that some men need to hear. This is really exciting. I definitely have butterflies, and I'm going to ask these men to tell us what no man has told us before. I want them to pull back the curtain on male-female dating and find out what do men really want? What do they prefer? What's a turnoff that we don't know about? These amazing panel men, Patrick, David, Rob, and Tim, will be featured a little later on the Dare to Dream show. And if you enjoy wine, and I do, I've taken classes for 2 years, I'm certified in wines, and I really do adore drinking it. Just imagine receiving unique wines from the best vineyards around the world, red, white, whatever you prefer, coming right to your door. Check it out, directcellars.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. That's direct sellers like a wine seller, CELLARS.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking with the men on the man panel.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and international bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
True, I love my life.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I have my amazing men here, and I am so looking forward to this conversation on dating men, women, and relationships. So I want to start by saying beautiful men, and you are all beautiful. Is that okay to call you beautiful? Is that okay if I say that?
Sure.
Kim? Yeah?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I receive that.
Oh. And I receive that you receive that, and that makes me feel great because I never really know, do I have to call you handsome? Is beautiful okay? But you are really beautiful men. And I want you to give me and the listeners just a couple of sentences, who you are, what you do out in the world. And I'm going to start with David. David, tell us who you are out in the world.
All right. Well, thank you for asking. Debbie, I am David De Silva. I run a company called Thinking Through, and I've been doing it most of my life. When people engage me, I help them make less mistakes, enjoy work and life more. And I really love it, and it's great as I'm finally making full use of my 25 years of experience, both in life and business. Simple and sweet.
Mm. Well, welcome, David.
Thank you.
And Patrick.
I recently co-authored a book with my wife, Sam, called Bigger Love. We're kind of running with that right now. We're starting a podcast on the same topic, but our area of expertise and what the book is about is it's all about relationships and a lot of the shortcuts and hacks and tricks that we've learned along the way to have a great relationship and avoid a lot of pitfalls that a lot of us fall into when we don't have those tools.
Okay, yummy. Thank you. And Rob?
Well, first of all, Debbie, thank you so much for having me on. I really do appreciate this, and I'm happy to be a part of the panel, the man panel. I host the Open Sky Fitness podcast. My wife and I actually host that together. We're both in the health and wellness world. We coach very busy people, kind of make sense of their lives and help create a healthy world around the busyness. We've been together, just kind of a background. We've been together 14 years and married for 8 of those 17. So we have a very strong relationship, I would say, in the work environment and also the relationship home environment.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Tim.
Hi. Thanks, Debbie. I'm so grateful to be here. This is awesome to be on the man panel. And I run Tim Wade Coaching, timwadecoaching.com. And what men hire me to do is help them reignite their natural mojo and step into healthy masculine power without becoming insensitive jerks. And I am a happily single father of 2 young girls.
Well, welcome, all of you. Tim, since you were just up, perfect timing. Mm-hmm. I'm out of a 10-year relationship for 9 months. So how long do you recommend I wait before dating again?
You know, that obviously it's a very personal answer, but they said once, they told me, those people who seem to know, they said, well, just count as long as you've been in the relationship and a month or for every year. And then somebody else said, why don't you double that? And then somebody else said, don't ever get in a relationship again.
So basically, for my situation, that's 10 to 20 months or never, ever again.
Or never. You know, when guys ask me that and I coach them, I say, give it a year. I mean, really. Mm. You've got to get to know yourself as a single person first, especially the longer they've been in a relationship, the more you're identified in being the us. And so I say, yeah, year minimum.
A year minimum. Okay, and Patrick, what are your thoughts?
I wouldn't even put the pressure of dating out there. I'd just get out there, keep it friendly, meet people. If it happens, it happens. But ultimately, in the time that you have now for yourself, one of the most important things is to figure out how to love yourself completely. And when that happens, then you'll have enough to give to somebody else at some point. But the last thing you want to do is jump into another relationship and spend all your time worrying about that person again.
So I'd love to know, if I should meet somebody, how does somebody know? How would a woman know if this guy is a keeper or if this guy is a player? I think that's pretty big out there. And Rob, I'm going to start with you. Keeper or a player? How can we be discerning?
That's a really good question. I think with nowadays, with all the dating apps out there right now, it's, you know what, that's a hard one. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, it'd be a lot easier because if you were hanging out with a guy and consistently having conversation with him and you felt like you had his full attention, you can tell that he's into you. But nowadays, it seems like you can have, as a guy or a girl, with all these apps, you can constantly be having conversations. I think it really comes down to how you feel in the moment when you're with that person, whether or not they make you feel important, whether or not they, you know, when you're not with them, if they're keeping in contact with you. And obviously, not to the point where it seems needy, but to the point where they're just being thoughtful of you and how you might be feeling. But it's a hard one. I mean, like I said, I've been with my wife for 17 years. Now you live in Los Angeles. Or you live in Los Angeles, Debbie. So you know what it's like in this town. It's very fast paced. It seems like everybody's looking for next best thing. So it's going to be, you're going to have to play that one by ear. You have to be open enough that the relationship is there for you if it's right, but also just kind of like paying attention to it and being present to whether or not it's not working. I feel like that's going to have to be on a person to person basis.
How are you successful for 17 years? I've met your wife, beautiful, beautiful woman. You're both beautiful creatures and really interesting people. 17 years is a chunk of time, especially exactly in Los Angeles. So what is the success that creates your relationship and your longevity?
Well, we got together when we were young. I'm 40 now. So I was 23. My wife at the time was 19. And we went to college together. We moved to New York City together. We moved to Los Angeles together, and there's been rocky phases within that. But at this point, we've both been going to therapy, and that's something I talk about quite a bit on our show. Not couples therapy, but in terms of knowing exactly what's happening with yourself, how you're processing certain information, and then how you're communicating with the person that you love. We are very open to how the other person's, if either one of us says something to the other that we don't feel comfortable with, we bring it up pretty quickly. It's those times where you bury stuff, you don't talk about it, you sweep it under the rug, and then eventually it starts adding up and adding up, and eventually there's like this thing in your relationship that doesn't quite feel right. You have to communicate with each other, and you have to really communicate on all fronts, whether it be your love life, your intellectual life, your friendships that you create with each other, and how you interact, because we work together as well on the podcast and on our, you know, in our business. It is it's a juggling act of really being present and communicative. That is definitely the secret, I think, in a really strong relationship.
Interesting. I love the fact that you're into therapy and so open to growing. I think that's phenomenal. I completely concur about the communication. It's something I really long for. Certainly going into the next relationship a lot more of, because I'm big on that. So, Patrick, I'm curious if I can get from you, being an expert, three surprising things that men look for in a wife that we don't even know about.
Three things.
Or five.
I think it's different for all men. I can tell you three things that I look for. To me, somebody that has their own thing, you know, their own, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's important that when you get into a relationship, that both of you are your own people and that neither one of you is immediately changing for the other person. So that part's kind of a big one for me. Nice tits is good. I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
Are you?
Personality. No. I mean, well, I don't know. When I was younger, I used to have a criteria. It had to be one or the other, but on the boobs or the ass. Forgo on one side of it if the other one was there, but that's my superficial side. I don't really worry about that. Personality is actually way more important, and somebody that you're comfortable with, that you can be you with, and you definitely look for that in any partner.
And how about your longevity? You've been with somebody how many years, and what do you think is the secret for your success?
Well, we've been together 21 years, and a little over 21 years, but we almost got divorced in year 10. We lived apart for an entire year. I even signed the papers and sent them back to her. And then we ended up kind of owning our crap during that year. Mm-hmm. Each of us were apart, and that enabled us to get back together. And then since then, we've getting rid of the crap that we had and in that 1 year apart. And then also we've learned a lot since then, and that's kind of what prompted us to write that book together. Yeah, communication is huge, as Rob said, and there's a lot of other things that come into play there too.
When you say there's a lot of other things that come into play, I'm wondering if a part of that is, you know, the crossroads you're talking about, you went as far as to sign papers and heading down that path but changed your mind. Is it about the crossroads and what we do at the crossroads? I think, certainly I experienced that too in the 10 years with this particular partner. But I, for a lot of that time, every time we reached a crossroads and it was stay or go, we made the choice to stay and recommit. And I found that to be very powerful. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it really depends on what's happened to get you to the crossroads. With us, we were young when we got married, and we didn't really know what we were doing, as most people don't. And we made a lot of mistakes in hindsight. And so I feel like if we'd known what we know now and went back to the beginning, we never would have had the crossroads. So when you get to the crossroads, if you can own, you know, your part in what got you there and work on that, because that's all you have control over, and the other partner does the same thing, then you'll almost always, I think, continue forward.
Hey, can I interject here just a second? This is Rob. Just in terms of the crossroads in that question, you know, for you, Debbie, I would throw this back at you and ask you, how many crossroads did you run into in the 10 years that you guys were together?
I don't know the exact number, but I would say between 6 and 10.
Okay, so
and,
roughly
and they were
once,
almost
once
always,
year.
By the way, initiated by my partner, if that helps out. He was often meeting a crisis.
Well, I'm just been an indicator potentially of a struggling relationship and had you, you know, if it seems like there was that lack of communication on probably more so on his side, it seems like you're very open to having that communication, but if there was a crisis coming up for him, a significant enough crisis that potentially it's time to end this relationship, you know, that would have been something to address. And even though you guys came to the crossroads and you decided to stay together, you know, I guess the question would be, do you feel like at that point it was a comfortability thing, or do you feel like it was the best move for the relationship or for self?
I love this really uncomfortable question you're asking me. And in honor of honesty, it's beautiful, you know, because I've reflected on it a little bit, Rob, and I will tell you that in hindsight, I think I looked at it like recommitting, but I think I was more committed, and I think I saw longevity, and I think he has issues and demons he hadn't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wondered, what if I had picked up then and left? How different my life would be. And I'm not saying good, bad, it is what it is, and here I am 10 years later. But if I were to be very honest when you ask me this question in reflection, I think I had an opportunity to leave, and underneath the reasons why I kept staying and choosing to believe it was the right thing to be with him, I probably knew that he didn't have the fortitude to go the distance.
Yeah,
this is Tim. I wanted to jump in a minute and say that I'll be a little bit of devil's advocate, and that I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with crossroads in your relationship, because as long as, you know, if they're done consciously and with communication, that you guys get to choose back in. That's a great thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think any relationship where you can consistently say, I choose you, I don't have to be here, I'm not shackled here. When you are terrified of breaking up, when you're terrified of getting divorced, it's very difficult to have a completely thriving relationship, because part of your free will is taken apart, you know, taken away, so to speak. So I think choosing in is great, as long as you're not doing it out of the fear of I won't survive, or, you know, it's wrong, or any of those other things. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And I like all these pieces of this one subject. And I wonder, so that's what crossroads are. They can be the choosing, deciding factor, especially if we're whole and complete and there's, like you said, to re-choose somebody from a detached state rather than a needy or a fearful place.
David here. One of the things that my wife and I did is we had a pretty specific discussion before we were married. And we wanted to make sure that we had answers to specific things that could happen in the relationship, for better, for worse, in any case. And we actually had those discussions. So then when we actually came to crossroads, the discussion wasn't, is this marriage over? The discussion wasn't, okay, who's going to leave? Who's going to move out? The discussion had already been had. So what we were already doing was thinking, okay, we discussed this, so now what did we decide that we were going to do? And how are we going to work this through? There's not a lot of people that I've met that that think about that. And sometimes it breaks my heart when I see couples that, you know, they're waiting for a better opportunity. They're waiting for an out. It's almost as if, you know, you're just always ready to trade up.
Can I add one more thing to it also?
Please.
This is Patrick. It really comes down to whether or not your needs are being met. So if once a year you're having a conversation because you're at a crossroads, because you're fed up, your needs aren't being met again, and then you opt back in because promises are made and changes will be made, and then a year later you're doing it again. Ultimately, I think for relationships to really work is people need to understand, communicate what their needs are, and then continually meet each other's needs, speak each other's love languages, and that's how the relationship will thrive. Then the crossroads typically don't come. That's what we're trying to do, is avoid the crossroads, technically.
We're going to take a break, and I hope you'll join me on the show afterwards on Facebook, Dare to Dream Radio and TV. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking to the man panel about sex and laughter and confidence, and I'm going to be following up with David about what were his questions, and Patrick, what does he mean by love languages? Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Wine lovers, how would you like to be part of the best wine club in the world? You can have your own business in wine, and we take all the guesswork out of it. To learn more, go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Is one of the most inexpensive ways to create an explosive business of your very own. We take out the guesswork and all of the headaches of building, starting, and implementing a new business. It's all done for you. You'll have your own back office, marketing materials, videos, and everything you need in order to share and build your own business. It's so easy. You can even sit back and enjoy our wines, because your wines will come to you free. We have invested so much time and 20 years of experts in selecting the most incredible, exquisite wines from all over the world that everyone enjoys, and they're at below retail prices. They'll also receive tasting notes in the magical box of wines. It'll have details of the regions, the history where the wine came, and even food and wine pairing recommendations. So entrust us with picking and choosing the most amazing wines. Deliver them to your customers' homes or business. Remember, there's nothing you need to do but just sign up and start your business right away. Go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. directcellars.com/DebsWineWonders and start your wine business today.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My Bestseller Book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm Debbie Dashinger, and I'm interviewing the man panel about dating, love, relationships. It's Patrick, David, Tim, and Rob, and we're going to connect a little bit with some of the conversation we had previously. David, you were talking about when your wife and you got together and before you got married, there were questions you asked each other. Would you be willing to share what those questions were?
Sure. What we specifically talked about, can we be free to be ourselves in front of each other? What does that look like? I mean, my goal today in living a successful marriage with my wife is I want her to be free to be who she is. And I want her to know that I love that. And that is going to be an evolution. That is going to be something that changes, that grows. And it's beautiful. But I have to give her that freedom. So that was one of the first things that we discussed. How does that one hit you?
Really strongly, and I'm wondering if that's coupled with support. So when you say free to be you, that's awesome, but is that from a distance or is that with connection, like I want you to be you and I'm going to celebrate and support you while you're that?
Oh, the latter. And I would ask, were you free to be you in your relationship?
I would say in the beginning, 100%. As we went on, not so much. I would speak on stage and he wouldn't come. I would do radio shows and he wouldn't listen. I would write books he never read and so forth. So I would say that really waned quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what other questions?
Well, what do we do when we're in crisis? When I've got an issue and I can't handle this issue, exactly what am I going to do to deal with it? Now, one of the things that we both believe in is my wife, her name is Heidi. Heidi needs security, and she needs to feel security at the deepest level. This is a bit of a generalization, but I've found with most people that this works. I need respect, and on the deepest level, that's what I want. And what I've found is when I'm not feeling the respect from my wife, typically my immediate reaction is to pull back from her. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about the fact that she desires security and I'm pulling mm-hmm. back, imagine just by my insecurity, by my not getting my needs met, I actually retard her ability to get what she needs.
Absolutely.
And again, imagine the same thing. If she is feeling something that she can't deal with, what will she do? It could come out in a reaction or an action that would seem disrespectful. So this can become extremely counterproductive. So what we decided to focus on is my job is to ensure that she feels secure within our relationship, and her job is to ensure that I feel respected. And if either of us are not feeling those things, then we have to approach each other and talk about it. Mm. A couple of the rules that we have is teachable moments. We don't approach the other person when they're in the midst of a chaotic episode, and we don't use that as a time to go, can we talk about this? Mm. You know, for all intents and purposes, most events or things that happen in a relationship could probably sleep on it. You could probably address it the next day. Even if I get an email from a client or an email from a friend or anything that's controversial, often I'll wait 24 hours just to respond to that. So if I'm willing to give that much respect to someone who I'm not married to, how much more respect should I give to the person that I've made a choice to spend the rest of my life with?
Wow, powerful, really powerful, amazing where you live. And I want to be clear for myself, really. I know my relationship is over, and I know the beautiful things about it and what I received and what we created. I will always honor and cherish it. It definitely took me in an evolutionary journey to a place I've never been before, a love, an expression I've never had before, experiences, memories. So the good was truly, truly good. I mean, I had a very charismatic, funny, interesting, accomplished partner. But he had his own set of issues, and it eventually took him and us out. So I honor all of that. And I want to say that I'm also very clear that going forward, I want to create differently and create big. And I'm super open to that. So I guess everything I want to address for myself going forward in this conversation with you is about what's possible for me rather than some of what happened before. So, love languages, I know there's a book about it. I have friends who read it. I have even friends who refer to it and say, oh, my love languages, blah, blah, blah. I haven't read the book. I don't know much. That was Patrick, right? Will you share a little bit about what that is so we can be illuminated?
Yeah, happy to. It's a good book. They have the website. You can go do a test and kind of read what each love language is and get a basic idea of what yours is in about 5 to 10 minutes. So if you just want a basic understanding and try to figure out, you know, the order, which ones are the most, I think it's 5lovelanguages.com. Don't quote me on that. I'm not certain. But one of them, and usually the one that resonates most with men, is physical touch. Another one is time, you know, whether you're spending time with each other or people or not. Another one is gifts, affirmations, positive affirmations, telling people, you know, that you appreciate them and you appreciate things that they're doing. And putting me on the spot. Every time I try to quote all five, I forget one of them.
Acts of service.
Acts of service. Oh, yeah, that's my wife's, actually. One I
Mine, too.
So anyway, yeah, everybody kind of has usually one or two predominant love languages. Mine's physical touch. My wife's is act of service. So for the first 10 years before we ever read the book, or maybe 12 or 13, actually, when I was trying to show my wife how much I loved her, and everybody falls into this trap, you do what you know. So I'd always touch her and rub her and scratch her back and do the, you know, all the physical touch things, which I love, and that's,
I thought I was speaking her love language, but technically I wasn't, and she just wanted me to throw in a load of laundry. So so now when I want to speak her love language, I mean, I play around a little bit. I'll put on an apron and nothing else and go back in the living room. And that turns around way more than me walking over and groping her. But I'm a grope guy. She can come over and grope me anytime.
So you totally learn what suits the other person, and then you address them from that angle. So they're receiving. So we started out this conversation, somebody saying, I receive, and that's exactly what this is. You can do a million dances, but there's one dance that they're going to receive that they connect with and feeds them and nurtures them, turns them on even.
And Debbie, it's so key to be in touch with yourself and what your needs are, because I know that I have desired all five of those things at different times and in different seasons. One is far more predominant than the other. So the key is having an active and purposeful time of communication with your spouse and making sure that you're keeping in touch with each other and knowing how these things are changing. Life is dynamic. Work is situational. Environment affects everything. So it's good to be dynamic.
We are,
Debbie, it really is about giving love in a way that the other person feels love, not in the way that you like to express love. Or I think as David was saying, or Patrick was saying, the way that you would like to receive it. And that's a huge difference. It's between loving in a way that, you know, my mother once gave me a bright green sweater made out of acrylic. I don't wear sweaters, I don't wear green, and I hate acrylic. Now, she thought she was being loving, and I took it as that, but the truth of the matter was it was not her seeing me. And I think that when you communicate love in a way that the person can really feel loved, they feel seen, like they're really, oh, you get me. And that's one of the things I think a lot of you were asking, what do men want? One of the things I think both partners a lot is this person gets me, like they see me, and they can reflect that back in a way that is experienced, I think, as love a lot of times.
So beautiful. I'm just enjoying all of you so much, and I keep thinking.
That's awesome, Debbie.
I really am. You're so beautiful and deep and thoughtful and insightful, and when I start dating, the man panel is going to come over and make sure, like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, he gets a second date. We approve, not so much.
Up like in the Olympics, you know, 8.2.
10.
And the Ukrainian judge gives him 11.
Exactly. So, guys, in this love language, and touch was one of them that we talked about, and there were many others, and being of service, I'll make a little joke, but how important is sex? I mean, I think in the beginning it's very important, but I wonder as the relationship goes on and on, truly, and your guys, I'm dying to know, how important is it to you?
It's talk
huge.
About this one goes to 11 specifically. Pretty big. It's been said that when your relationship is great, then sex is like, you know, a quarter of it. And when it's awful, it's, you know, when the sex is awful, that it's, you know, all of it. This is Tim talking.
So in 11,
I don't think sex is awful.
Is that the Woody Allen quote is a meaning, that sex with a stranger is a meaningless, empty experience, but as meaningless experiences go, it's pretty great?
Do you concur?
Yeah, I mean, this is Rob. I think the ability to not only have sex, but like an intimacy that you need to reach together where it goes and it kind of transcends from the conversation we were talking, you guys meant really being able to listen to and deliver on what the other person wants rather than what you want. And for a guy, that's usually a little more difficult because it's so much easier for us to just focus on what we want, and it's easier and it's faster. But being able to slow down and actually be present with what our wife or our partner want, because we think as men that sex is, you know, well, not that both, I would say both sides think sex is very, very important, but the way that I think a lot of guys generally think about sex is different than the way that women generally think about sex. So it's important to bridge that gap. And I think the way you do that in a relationship really comes down to listening to your partner and what they want and what they need from you.
So I think hearing you say that, it makes me wonder. So there's the relationship and the intimacy and communication and choices we're talking about and finding what serves the other person and how they can receive your love. And then isn't sex like the same thing all over again? Communication and intimacy and finding out what they like and connecting there too?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's pretty spot on. I mean, some people, the communication within their relationship ends at the bedroom door. This is very common probably in the United States because we've been kind of groomed to think that there's something wrong with sex and the conversation
right.
around sex. It's a taboo subject. I mean, to have a conversation right now on a radio show about sex is a taboo subject. People just don't have this conversation. To have it out with friends, again, taboo. To have it with your wife or your husband can sometimes also be taboo depending on how you grew up. So to, you know, be able to keep those lines of communication open and really be honest with your partner about what you're feeling, even if it's an uncomfortability, and really trying to work your way through it, it's unbelievably important. It's not something that most people talk about. A lot of couples won't talk about their struggles in their relationships to each other, which is unfortunate. So, yeah, well, it's a very, you know, second time, you know, in a way it has to be a very, it's very important that you are communicating throughout the entire process.
Yeah, and let me just share one thing for me I've realized, and this is just kind of this is David here, an observation that I've found in myself is if in the past some of my needs were ones that I were putting on my wife that she couldn't give, and I was actually putting these needs on her that were kind of, how do I say this delicately? I wanted her to be my mom.
Hmm.
And so all of a sudden, I'm thinking here, I don't know a lot of moms that want to have sex with their sons.
Right.
So if I'm going to her and I have these needs, and these needs are motherly needs, then I'm not dealing with my own shit, if you will, and I'm not dealing with my own stuff. So I need to protect that relationship and go to her and create in her a lover. I want her to want me. So
wow.
I want to make sure that she feels like a woman. I want to make sure that she feels sexy. I want to make sure that she feels secure, that she feels taken care of. If all of a sudden it comes down to, you know, maybe I have a need that we get back to those love language and an act of service would be, I want breakfast and I want it made for me. And I. Well, if all of a sudden she's mothering, well, then I can't expect the woman who I want to sleep with, who I want to be intimate with, who I want to give pleasure to want to return that favor if she's mothering me. So to me, the most humbling thing and the difficult thing that I had to go through was going, okay, I have to assess my needs and I have to recognize where I'm going to get these needs met. And I want to make sure that I'm honoring my wife so that she finds me predictable and desirable.
Huge. Huge. Mm. And I'm sure many people who are listening are also thinking, whether it's men, and they can really relate to that raw honesty. Thank you so much for going there. And a lot of women who have daddy issues. You know, and I'm going to throw myself in that mix. I grew up without a father figure at all,
yeah.
Completely absent. And so there is no doubt when a man comes in and starts, quote unquote, taking care of me and showing up and taking me to dinner, there's something else subversive that's happening for me, and it's really important to keep them separate. Like, I so get what you're talking about, and
mm-hmm.
I think that is a brilliant, brilliant point. I am going to have to take a break, and I already can't wait to come back because we are going to talk a little bit more about this, plus laughter, confidence, what's a turnoff, what takes us out of this, and much more with our man panel. Stay right there. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. And you can also join me. Boy, I bet you want some wine right now. I know I do. You can go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders, and I'll be right back.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@DebbieDashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@DebbieDashinger.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. Yep, we're going there. I've got my amazing man panel with me. There's David, there's Rob, there's Patrick, and there's Tim. How does a woman get so lucky to have this level of conversation? So, guys, we're going to pick up where we left off, and I just want to open this up because you might have something, some kind of wisdom or insight to share. I want to know, for the women folk, confidence, how important, laughter, how important, and if you have anything else to add about sex, what do we need to know?
Hey, this is Tim. I want to add something about sex, and that is there's actually kind of a counterpoint to the five love languages, and it was developed by a woman named Jaya Ma, and it's called the sexual blueprint. And it's a similar thing in that it's basically, and you can take a quiz on her site and all that to see what sexual blueprint you are, but it's the same kind of thing to learn what your partner prefers in that way. How, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you can span the spectrum. There are people who like it all, but it's kind of something you could add to the mix with your partner. Say, well, I know how you like to be, that you like to be, you know, loved or touched in this way or this, that. What about in the bedroom? What do we add to that then? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
And you said Jaya Ma, yeah. Sexual Blueprint.
Sexual Blueprints, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
And this is David here, and I just love what you shared, and I think that's great. For me, my experience is if my wife's emotional needs are not being met, I don't even have to worry about the bedroom. I'm in it by myself. I have to make sure that she feels heard, that she feels loved, and she feels secure. And if I take care of those three things, she'll take care of the rest.
If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. And what about confidence and laughter? What do you, are those valued by you, important, unimportant?
Most men don't like it when women laugh while we're having sex with them. is this a different subject? Oh.
Yeah.
Especially if they're pointing at the same time.
I don't know. I just even, Debbie, even just hearing you laugh, I mean, what a wonderful thing that is to hear. I remember for a lot of years, I did not hear my wife laugh, and it was heartbreaking. So I think you're hitting the nail on the head. When you're looking for a guy, you want to find someone who makes you laugh and just genuinely cares about that part of you.
You want to be able to make him laugh also. I think it's important for both people to be able to make each other laugh. It just helps relax into the relationship so easily.
I think that's so true. This is Tim. I think many women will put humor very high on the list of something they find attractive in men. And I don't think men will acknowledge as quickly, because it's not top of mind, how much they enjoy a woman who is playful and makes them laugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's wonderful to
this
hear.
I think, you know, this is Rob, and I'll just add to that just a little bit. I think that the laughter, I think that the playfulness comes from a level of confidence that is, you can't really fake that when it comes to a new relationship. I think it's very important for a guy, especially in the beginning, to feel like the woman he's with is confident in herself. Somebody had mentioned it earlier where she has her thing, where it's basically separate from whatever it is he's doing. So this way you never feel like you're reliant on her own pleasure or fun. Or she can create it herself, whether you're there or not, and entertain herself, whether you're there or not. And so that is kind of a relief. And even for me, when I'm not single. So, but when I go out and I'm with friends, and there's a single woman there, or there's a single guy there, and you could just tell the laughter, the playfulness. If it's not genuine, it's coming from a place of insecurity. So that confidence is lost. And it makes the connection a lot more difficult. So if you feel yourself and you're going out there and you're trying to put yourself out there, but it feels like you're generating it and rather than just relaxing and enjoying the moments, it's going to be a lot more difficult to find, really find a guy that you're going to connect with, because you're trying kind of too hard to make the connection. And you know that fake it till you make it doesn't necessarily work when it comes to relationships. That's going to be the struggle. So that for me, I think that a lot of the laughter, a lot of the joy comes from that confidence and from that feeling of being just comfortable around the people that you're trying to kind of create a relationship with.
So make sure the laughter, the humor is really organic, comes from a right place, nothing that can be forced. And, you know, it makes me think when you say even as someone who's not single, but when you go out and so forth, so talking about going out, listen, things are really different for me than when I was dating before this relationship. I hear words like ghosting. I know people tend to text instead of call, and I'm totally a caller. I don't like the whole texting thing. Not to form a relationship. For friends, it's fine. So OMG, get me up to date and ready for this new dating world. What can I expect?
I can't stand texting either. So I think the first time you tell somebody I really appreciate and prefer a phone call instead of texting, and they keep texting you, then move on.
I'll tell you this. This is Rob again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. This is Rob again. I just performed a wedding ceremony up in Portland for some friends, and their first date was a text date. They were introduced by friends. The girl was working that night. She couldn't talk over the phone. So they spent the entire first evening together texting each other for hours. And they got to know each other on a level. Now, she is she's a great girl. She's one of those girls who you get to, if you know her and you're friends with her, she's one of the sweetest people, extremely talented, smart. I didn't know him at the time, but he's, again, one of those kinds of guys who's just very confident and smart as well. And she said, I don't think the date would have went as well had we not spent the first night texting. We got to know each other on a different level. He seemed to answer questions, never a pause, and I felt uncomfortable. He came back and basically would kind of pick the conversation back up and take care of me. And it was a way for her to feel comfortable. He made her feel comfortable via the text messages without ever laying real pressure on her in the conversation itself. So I it might not work for you, and I don't think that's ever worked for her in the past, but it worked for her enough that, you know, they've been dating for years now, and I just, as I said, married them in Portland on the 4th of July weekend. Don't sell yourself short on the text message conversations, because they never know how they're going to go.
Okay.
I can hear what Rob's saying. Like, it is a tough world now. I mean, I've never in my life thought that when I'm interacting with a potential client, either in relationship coaching or the life coaching or business coaching, that my first question is going to be, what's your primary means of communication? Text messaging, emailing, phone calls. You know, I never thought that would happen. So, Debbie, you may have to hone your skills in all three.
And Skype and Zoom and
Oh my
well,
God.
Not for relationships
time.
Unless you're having phone sex.
Here we go.
Hey, Debbie, this is Tim, and as a single man, I've had to be in the same world suddenly with ghosting and texting and sexting and jousting and whatever else. I did actually put a thing out on Facebook at one point. I said, I just want to warn everyone I may actually call you on a real phone out of the blue because I really hate this. Someone text you and say, can I call you? It's like, why didn't you just call me?
Right.
And I said, and if you don't want to talk to me, you have full permission not to pick up the phone. That's how it works. So I'm a big phone person, but I'm clearly not a millennial. The ghosting thing, by the way, goes right into your thing about is he real or is he a player? Because that's one of those red flags of someone who speaks with vagueness about their life, or they disappear suddenly out of the blue for a certain number of days.
So, Debbie, I want to hear, what are you going to do? How are you going to go forward? What are you learning from this man panel? And let's talk about you and your relationship. What are you going to do? This is David.
Well, David, okay. I'm certainly going to focus on myself right now. And I've been really nurturing my amazing friendships that I have. I'm deeply blessed to have incredible people in my life. So that's very fulfilling. Two things. So I had Alison Armstrong on my show, and she's definitely a relationship guru. And she said to me, quite without my asking, but said, I'm going to recommend that you make a list of everything that you didn't get in your relationship that you recognize you really need to go forward. And then also make a list of all the things you did get that you would be very happy to receive again. So I've done that, and that was really illuminating. My sister-in-law is she's a professional therapist and a love mentor. She works with Dr. Diana Kirshner, and she has offered me, because we're best friends, she's offered me 3 months free of once-a-week sessions to help me get back out there. I definitely plan to do internet dating and be open to that as well as anything real and organic. And I think I want a little manifesto. I think on some level I want to draw something up to give to the universe, like a recipe, and say, these are the things I really desire. And this is the feeling and sense I really want to have. And if you want to throw in some spice and anything nice on top of it, surprise me.
Saw chocolate chips being tossed in. I saw some caramel. I think that would be a great recipe.
Can I make a suggestion on something to add to your list?
Yes, please.
I would add to that list, because you've got 10 years under your belt, and look at that relationship and for anything that you may have brought that probably wasn't positive, that probably helped move it along to the point where it ended also. So, I mean, the first 10 years when we almost got separated, I used to have insecurity issues that I had to get rid of. It usually manifested in jealousy, but that was one of the most powerful things that somebody said to me. You know, I was ranting and blaming her for why we were separated, and he told me that, why don't you focus on, you know, what you did wrong that got you there, get rid of that. So at the very worst, you don't take that with you into your next relationship.
Wow. Perfect. Love can totally do that. What did I do wrong? So just take ownership and responsibility and work to heal whatever that was. So it doesn't
get rid of
move
it.
Forward. What is the importance of being authentic in a relationship? Who we are, clear about what we need. And conversely, what's the importance of being accepting of who our potential partners are?
Well, in terms of authentic, this is Rob speaking. In terms of authentic, you might not run into any problems in the first couple of months. You might not run into any problems in the first year or so, but you will run into problems. So, in terms of being authentic and you know, the only person you can be authentic in the relationship is you, because you're not in charge of anybody else but yourself. So if you are genuine and authentic with who you are, what you want, and what your goals are for the relationship, as long as you're dating someone who is of like mind, you should be fine. It's only when you are hiding something or you have something that you don't want to necessarily share, that you're being inauthentic, that you're going to run into problems down the line. So I think it's very important, and unfortunately, it might just take too long if you are not being authentic to find out if it's a problem.
Yeah, agreed 100%. Because if you go into a relationship, and a lot of times when you're madly in love, we get a little bit lost in who we are, but that being authentic as you can possibly be in the beginning, if that runs somebody off, then they weren't for you anyway. So huge. It's very, very important.
Hey, Debbie, this is Tim. I love this quote by Brené Brown, and she says, "The biggest stumbling block to belonging is trying to fit in." And fitting in is being inauthentic. It's saying, I will be whoever you need me to be in order to feel accepted and loved. I will be a chameleon. So I think authenticity is really, really important. And in a group or in a one-on-one relationship, that you will never feel completely loved if you're pretending to be something else. Because you'll always have this voice in the back of your head that says, yeah, but they don't really know me. They don't really see me. Or if only they knew, then they wouldn't love me.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. This is Rob. I think with the insecurity and the I'm going to throw the word out, desperation. If you are desperate, right? And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying in general, if you are desperate for a relationship, and I think the desperation comes from not doing anything on doing, which is taking the time for yourself to really discover what you need in your next relationship and what you need just in terms of your own personal well-being. But if you go out there with the desperation of having someone solve your problem of being alone, you're going to go in exactly like was just said. You're going to go in trying to please that person and therefore not being authentic with yourself and what you truly need. So that would be, that's a big one. So if you're looking for a relationship and you feel desperate, you're going to make poor choices. So it's really important that you're good with yourself the way you are, and you're happy to share that with the world. And if somebody doesn't get it, then that's their problem. You know, that would be one of the big things in terms of authenticity and why it's important.
And being authentic is confidence, and confidence is sexy.
Yeah.
Love it. My man panel. My man panel. How extraordinary are you? Please tell us, how can people find you? We're going to start with Patrick. Give us your full name, your website, because now everybody's in love with each of you. So let us know where we can find you.
My name is Patrick Cullinane. So the website is biggerlovebook.com. The book that we wrote, Sam, my wife, and I wrote together is called Bigger Love. That's also on Amazon. And Facebook page, Bigger Love Book. And I guess we have a Twitter account now, but also the same name, Bigger Love Book.
Great. And Tim?
I'm Tim Wade, and you can find me at timwadecoaching.com, and I work with men on how to rekindle their mojo, whether it's in business or their love life.
And Rob?
It's Rob Dionne, and you can find me at openskyfitness.com. I also host, like I said, the Open Sky Fitness podcast. My wife, Devin. So if you want to listen to that, you can subscribe to the Open Sky Fitness podcast. And where we spend most of our time is the Open Sky Fitness podcast group on Facebook.
Thank you. And David?
Oh, well, you can find me at Thinking Through, THRU. Be my pleasure to serve anyone in their journey.
Thank you, each of you, so much for showing up in the way you did and for what you provided for all of us today. And I end today's show with this quote from Albert Einstein, which is, "Any man who can drive safely while kissing a pretty girl is simply not giving the kiss the attention it deserves." You can subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And remember, if you're ready for some amazing wine to be delivered right to your door, go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Thanks for joining us today on Dare to Dream.